Hey, Beep Beep listeners, Editor John here. In this episode, we had a little bit of a Ukraine discussion, and then an incredible number of things happened in Ukraine. So if what you're hearing in the episode doesn't quite conform to what you're seeing in the news, that's because the news is a liar. And also, I often don't get to edit these episodes until 30 or 40 hours after they were recorded. Anyway, enjoy the episode.
Pull off the truck and just slam it. And I gotta
say, they just let you do that?
Yeah, yeah. They let me have a food item, a snack item, and a drink item.
Oh, that rips.
So I can have like a fucking tuna sandwich and a bag of Doritos and a 24-ounce piece.
Sandwiches and vending machines?
Yeah. Okay, so we have food machines, which are like refrigerated. So,
oh, you're stocking like those bad boys where it's like kind of like a little rotating thing and you got a little sandwich on it and you're like, ooh,
that's
I want that sandwich.
Automatic.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
so I'll stock
in the
1930s. Some like chorizo mac and cheese bowls and a couple of chili cheese dogs. And like we put some decent stuff in those machines.
Dope.
Yeah. But then like, you know, if you're one of my Monday stops, you get screwed because it's all like, it's all the basic stuff. It's all like cinnamon rolls and like crappy little breakfast sandwiches and individual pickles and yogurt.
Don't
individual
diss the
pickles.
Breakfast sandwiches, man.
Yeah. No, yeah. The individual pickles are weird. They come in like a little bag.
Yeah, I've seen those in gas stations. Are they good? Have you tried them?
No, I haven't tried one yet. Because
you're like a pickle connoisseur.
I am, and I'll eat a gas station pickle if it looks good, but I don't trust the opaque bags. I feel like the opaque bags are hiding something.
The bags
are
opaque?
You can't even see them? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. No, you can't see the pickle through the bag, which is like when I go to a gas station and some, you know, 55-year-old man who should be retiring but makes $9 an hour sticks his extremely hairy arm into a jar and grabs the pickle for me. It's disgusting, but it's all happening in front of me.
Yeah, you're
whatever's
not,
behind
you don't
that opaque
buy
bag,
a pickle sight unseen. That's like buying a truck sight unseen or buying a wife sight unseen.
An arranged marriage with a pickle. Yeah. I also can't really imagine being in a situation where I'm like, all that's around are vending machines, but I need a pickle. I would just be like, I'm going to wait till I'm at a grocery store or my home and have a pickle there that I know is good.
It's like the meme where the guy is dying of thirst and it says, water, 1 mile, gas station pickle, 40 miles. And he goes towards the gas station pickle.
You know where he's going.
Yeah. Well, that's like if you went to a bar and they had like scotch eggs, you know, those are usually like a, or pickled eggs or whatever. I guess scotch eggs are deep fried, are in like a giant jar on the counter. Now, imagine that jar was ceramic. Would you buy that egg? Not a chance.
No. I like to survey the disgusting gas station food at least before I buy it.
I like to imagine my pickled eggs are like a live lobster. Like I got to take a shine to one and I'm like, give me that one. His name's Gary.
Wait, you mean they kill the egg when they serve it to you?
That's right.
It's about to be born. And then they kill the chicken and it's in its infancy and then cook it up for you.
Live.
You ever
eggs.
Notice when you boil eggs, they scream.
That's why they call it hard boiled eggs. Cause it's so hard to boil it and listen to the screams. You got to be really tough to do it.
Yeah. I was just thinking about, you know how they do everything in a vending machine in Japan?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would your job be like if you were doing just the exact same thing that you do, stocking vending machines, but in Japan?
It'd probably be the same, except I just wouldn't have to worry about temperature as much, because I don't think like cheaply printed mangas need to be food safe.
Yeah. I feel like there'd be so much more work. There'd be like, they'd have to have like 20 of you guys.
Yeah. Well, I drove by one of those Carvana car vending machines. Like
I
saw
those.
A real
never
one.
Buy anything from Carvana. Listeners, no. do not ever do business with Carvana. Selling, buying, whatever the fuck, they will fuck you over.
Well, here's the thing about a vending machine is it's just like, okay, has anything you've ever bought in your life out of a vending machine been reasonably priced?
Yes, no. Absolutely.
So why would you want
the little
to buy
anime
a
figurines
car?
At the comic book store that has a couple of Gashapon machines?
Okay, well,
random things. Yeah, sure.
You know how like America a couple like 10-20 years ago American comic book stores figured out how to install those things? I got a couple like you know little Pokemon from those. They were like $1. It was cool.
What do you get, like a little figurine?
Yeah, you get like a little tiny Pokemon like the size of a keychain.
Oh, cool.
And that's then, cute. That's worth a dollar.
That's that's just your starter now. Or it's like, oh, I gotta give a dollar and get a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my main.
How did I get Sandshrew twice in a row?
The machine is shaped like Professor Oak's mouth.
I mean, that wouldn't be the weirdest Pokemon themed shit I've seen. Like the famous inflatable Pikachu where it's like ass is the doorway to walk into the Pikachu.
Yeah. No, but no, to your point, John, like a lot of the shit that you can get out of vending machines, very bad. Mm-hmm. But I've seen like at the DMV, they have like a coffee vending machine. Like it makes the coffee for you. And it's like not good coffee.
Oh,
but
no.
If you press the mocha button, it's basically a coffee into which it inserts a powdered hot cocoa mix, which is not bad.
I stocked that powdered hot cocoa mix.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, we have those machines. And the real trick to those machines is if you want anything even remotely resembling a decent cup of coffee, just hit the espresso button. Because it's like, you espresso, that means strong coffee, right? Not true. Espresso is a specific way of brewing beans.
Thought it was fast.
But
espresso.
Yeah, espressi.
That's why it
Italian
has the X in
for
it.
Express. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. But if you hit the espresso button, it'll use half as much water and give you a twice as strong cup of coffee.
Makes
and that's
sense.
Actually kind of like worth half a damn. I'll actually drink that.
Yeah, actually when I worked at a job where there was free coffee, like they were like shittier Keurig pods.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they were like pouches. God. They were god awful. And people would hit the half cup option where it like it just does like a half a cup but does it with more pressure. And they'd go through like three of these plastic pods for their single cup of coffee in the morning because they were like, fuck it. It's like the one thing that we get at this job that doesn't suck.
Yeah, well,
and like
some
for it.
Some fucking intern or delivery guy or something's got to show up every few days with like a huge cardboard box full of the worst instant coffee you've ever seen in your life. When you said hit and then paused, I thought you were going to say that people were just hitting the pods. Like they were like fuck this brewing
just like
coffee
shooting
shit.
Yeah.
I'm just doing a shooter.
So straight in.
The guy that stocked the vending machine at that job, the vending machine that had like chips and stuff in it, if he had too much, he would just leave it out on the counter in the break room.
How beautiful.
And write free on a little piece of paper. I don't know if you're allowed to do that at your job,
but
that guy was a hero.
I'm not allowed to do it, but it is a common practice.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, read between the lines. I mean, that's the thing, though, is like, I feel like vending machines are having their time in the spotlight again because we're all being inhumanely forced back to work. But that's beside the point I'm trying to make, which is that my wife and I were watching Abbott Elementary like last week or whatever, and they introduce a new character, and the new character is the vending machine guy. And I'm
nice.
Hey, I just got that job.
What
and
is
now
Abbott
I'm like,
Elementary? Is it like a Parks and Rec kind of thing?
Yes, but funnier. It's Quinta Brunson, which is why we started watching it in the first place. She was on a Black Lady sketch show.
I've never heard of that show.
Abbott Elementary is honestly worth a watch. It's like it's very normie, but if you're going to watch a normie comedy show, I recommend it. It's pretty darn good.
I'll keep it in my back pocket.
Everywhere I go now, I just see fucking vending machines. Like I'll be out with my wife and we'll be in a mall or something, and I'll look and I'll see a vending machine and I'll be like, you know, those are a pain in the ass to get open. They have like this three door system. And she's like,
wait, can you tell us definitively, is it possible to get some free shit if I stick my hand up in there in just the right way?
Yes, it absolutely is.
Oh,
depending,
fuck yeah.
Depending on the model that you're interacting with, I have employees come up to me all the time from all these businesses that I service, and they're just like, hey, buddy, just so you know, it didn't want to dispense right, so I kind of shook it and jammed my hand up there, and I got a hold of that Pop-Tart, but other people shouldn't have to do that.
But
that's a lot of effort for $1.25, bro.
Yeah, just put another dollar in, get another Pop-Tart.
A $4,000 emergency room ambulance ride later.
Yeah. Well, like,
for profuse bleeding of the wrist.
There's a couple of these machines where if I like lose something, like if I drop a quarter and it rolls under the machine, I've tried to stick my arm under there before and twisted it just ever so slightly the wrong way. And these machines are so fucking heavy. There's no give. So like, unless I drop $20 under there, I'm not going for it.
Yeah, dude, don't sacrifice your body for a job. Like no. if you can afford not to.
I go slow, man. I got my knee braces. I got a back brace. I still haven't figured out how to put on properly. I do my morning stretches. Right? They do this thing where it's like if you do your morning stretches and you check the box on the wall, you can get entered for like random drawings. They do some. The prize is usually like a fucking Chili's gift card or whatever.
Nice.
But I actually do the stretches. And then I watch guys walk in the door and just check the stretches box. And I'm like,
King shit.
Hell yeah, nice. My guy. Hell you should probably do your stretches, but I appreciate you getting one over on the boss.
Yeah.
getting one over
on myself to get one over on the boss. Yeah. Well,
getting one underneath the vending machine when it falls on me because I didn't do my stretches.
Well, because I'll do the stretches, but sometimes I won't even check the box because I don't care about a fucking Chili's gift card. You're not going to trick me into going to Chili's. Fuck you. You already make my life hard enough.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, for work, I got to go to Chili's tonight. I got a $20 gift card, so it's going to cost me like $10 to have a good night still.
So my girl hates going to Applebee's, so we're never going to go to Applebee's, and we're probably never also going to go to Chili's, but I went to a Red Lobster for the first time in like...
I've never even been to a Red
years,
Lobster.
Maybe a decade. Wow. I hadn't been to a Red Lobster in like a decade. And I was expecting like just Applebee's with fish. Red Lobster is fucking nice, dude. And of course we filled up
That's
on
like
biscuits.
A step up, yeah.
So then when we got our like... It was Valentine's Day thing. So then when we got our food, it was like, oh, wait, no, I've filled up on biscuits. One leftovers, please.
Yeah, Red Lobster is like they're a little more upscale because they want to get that old people money and old people.
Absolutely, they want to get that birthday money.
My grandma loved Red Lobster. I think it's a very like grandma kind of restaurant. Like you get the lobster, but it's not that expensive. You get the biscuits. I used to like Joe's Crab Shack a lot when I was a kid.
Joe's Crab Shack is tight.
Yeah, I mean, just like any kind of deep fried fish, deep fried anything when you're a kid, that's all you need.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you're a kid, that's all I need now. I eat vegetables all that fucking too. Morning so I can come home and eat nothing but hush puppies for dinner.
Hell yeah, that's yin and yang right there.
Can you get like a good clam, like fried clam dinner in Michigan? Is it too far from like the sea instead of lakes?
Yeah, there's almost nothing that is really worth catching. There are fish that you can catch fresh in Lake Michigan, and they're delicious when you buy them fresh around here, but it's not like fun seafood stuff. If you want shellfish or what are they called? Like mussels, clams, oysters. They have
cockles.
Cockles. Bivalves, maybe? Is that bivalves?
Chris with the clutch bivalve
What am I, a plumber?
If you want to,
how many fucking valves does a fucking thing have?
Bivalve. What is this? A steam sail?
Yeah, but if you want those, you gotta go somewhere with a non-rhotic accent. You gotta go up to the real Northeast. Mm. You gotta go up to New England. I don't even want to go to Old England.
The Northwest Passage, dude.
Yeah,
which is something depressing that I found out many years ago was that like because all the ice is melted. The Northwest Passage is just like wide as fuck. Like there's no season where it's actually closed off anymore. There's just a Northwest Passage now. So it turns out instead of trying to explore and find the Northwest Passage, all you had to do was just pollute enough until, you know, that shit melted.
Oh yeah, 16th century explorers. Why didn't you just wait till 400 years after you died?
That's right.
Should have gotten cryogenically frozen.
Yeah, well, most of them did get cryogenically frozen, but we haven't figured out how to reheat a frozen corpse in Antarctica or the Arctic.
Also, a polar bear probably ate it.
Pretty lucid the definition of cryogenically frozen when a lot of these pioneer types are probably buried next to a bear carcass gradually letting off methane into the atmosphere as the permafrost above them melts.
Yeah, cryogenically frozen? What, you gonna piss your pants? Cryogenically freeze, maybe?
Cryogenic freezing is like one of the funniest pop culture things to ever like really gain some traction though. Like that's a big like weird futurism thing crossing over into pop culture.
That shit does not work.
It's
not real.
No.
Yeah.
And people spend crazy amounts of money. Yeah. Like there are families who are like, well, some of them I get where they're like, okay, my son or husband or whatever was murdered and they never found the culprit. So I'm going to freeze them to preserve the body so that there's still evidence to work with in the case, whatever. I get that.
But when
you're like, oh, I have, you know, thyroid cancer and I'm going to get frozen and they're going to animate me after they figure out how to get rid of thyroid cancer. It's like, man, I'm telling you, I don't know what the survival rate for thyroid cancer is, but I bet we'll find out it's much higher than the survival rate for cryogenic freezing.
We're going in a freezer.
No matter what, if somebody's cryogenically frozen, it means they had enough fucking money to get cryogenically frozen, right?
Yeah, like, just to rent a chest freezer for that long? Like, think about all the fucking electric bills.
Yeah, they're not really cryogenically freezing some guy that just like had got dealt a bad hand in life.
Well, that's what makes the whole conceit of Futurama funny, right? Is that like some pizza delivery boy accidentally fell ass backwards into the cryogenic freezer? Because if like some billionaire had done it, they'd wake up and their bank account that had $1 billion in it 1,000 years ago now has like 19 sextillion dollars in it. And they're like, yeah, okay, I'm set forever. But Fry never invested the tips he was making at whatever pizza company, so he's just some fucking schmuck now.
You know, yeah. John, I was with you all through the cryogenic freezing thing, but I draw the line at calling Futurama funny. No, I'm kidding. I fucking love Futurama, but apparently they're trying to bring it back. You guys hear
again?
About this?
For the
they're doing it
again.
Bring
it back again.
Seventh time? Some streaming service bought the rights and they're going to make even more new episodes.
Just taking up airwaves that could be used to actually give the Venture Brothers a home. Because like Adult Swim renewed them for 2 more seasons and then went back on their renewal and were like, oh, actually, you're cut. And now the guys who make the Venture Brothers have to go to like HBO Max and be like, can we put out a special that's like an abridged version of 3 of these storylines we wanted to do? And I'm like, God damn, why is one of the best shows on TV reduced to this garbage? Like, there's
because
so
much TV, dude.
Yeah, I know. That's just the business of it. But like, yeah, again, why are we bringing Futurama back? Futurama's already been brought back so many times.
They said all they needed to say.
It's ended like 3 times already, right?
Yeah, Futurama is like that guy from Game of Thrones who kept dying and getting brought back.
They need to bring they need to bring Futurama back so that Bender can say demisexual lives matter.
Well, they can't because Bender's not coming back. It's like the one
guy
is not involved. Yeah, I think he's basically holding out. He's like, they're not offering enough money and they can pay me my, you know,
now it's
a
labor issue too.
Yeah.
Well, and it really is a labor issue too, because when, what's his name? John DiMaggio, I think?
Joe DiMaggio.
Who voices Bender.
That's right.
I think it is John DiMaggio, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because all the news media were saying, like, John DiMaggio holds out for more money. And what they weren't saying is, like, he's not just demanding more money for himself, but for everybody on the cast. And I'm like,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So he's doing a good thing, and you're trying to write headlines to smear him as much as possible. So that
he's stealing my Futurama from me. He's not letting me watch Futurama for free for no money.
Yeah, you're going to get paid $10 an hour to record the funny time farting robot. You're going to like it.
RIP.
Meanwhile, like fucking Matt Groening and David X. Cohen and those guys, they make so much fucking money. Like Disenchantment, a new season of that.
They made Epstein money.
Yeah, yeah. They were on
Epstein's plane.
I know. That's why I feel bad for enjoying their fucking shows. But
Matt Groening is
a sucker for cartoons.
Matt Groening is like outsourcing the writing for that the Dungeons and Dragons Simpsons to like a team of like 22-year-olds that are paid in like Grubhub credits.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about like if you're Matt Groening and you made like a family comedy cartoon sitcom and it became so wildly popular that you didn't have to make anything else for a long time, and then you were like, okay, I finally have to make something else, I'll make a time traveling workplace comedy, and then it did so spectacularly well that you didn't have to make anything else for a while, at that point you've just done the 2 most popular genres of TV show, and now it's like, oh shit, what do I do now? And then you really go off the rails. You're like, Eric Andre will be a devil in a medieval, you know,
we're at the Ren Fair. Picture the Ren Fair, but it's also kind of like Futurama, but it's hilarious.
I mean, that whole the whole structure of Disenchantment, I can't help but think, is at least somewhat algorithmically derived, right?
100%.
Like it is laser targeted at people who are exactly my age.
They looked at what Futurama episode of the like new episodes did the best on streaming, and it was like and I can't even watch those because they're really bad. Like Futurama got really, really bad in like the last couple seasons of them bringing it back. Like when they first brought it back, it's like, okay, you know, because right. I was like, when I was a kid, I fucking loved Futurama. I was just like, oh my god, this is like a show made. Futurama was like a defining element of my own understanding of comedy evolving, and and I had to like seek it out on like sketchy like, you know, peer-to-peer download sites to watch it because they canceled it, right? And then they brought it back. I'm like, oh my god, it's gonna be the best shit ever. I'm like, I've aged out of the age group, you know, for which Futurama is like a, you know, a thing, but I'm like still stoked. And the episode just got progressively worse. And then when they did that episode where they like go back in time to like a D&D fantasy land, the algorithm was just like, oh, these people liked these episodes, so clearly we should extrapolate that out into another algorithmic streaming show.
Yeah. I mean, there's that. And then I think also just like a lot of the cultural references that are baked into the fabric of the Futurama world are of a very Y2K time. The theme song for the show is just mid-tempo breaks and laser sounds. Like, that's Y2K, you know? Yeah.
Also an incredibly cool theme song.
Oh, yeah. The theme song rips, and the full version is on Spotify. You should definitely go check it out if you haven't. It goes really hard.
Yeah, remember, like, it would like be, like, a big deal that, like, the Beastie Boys were in an episode of Futurama?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they're frozen heads
or
whatever.
Is this just the BP Futurama episode?
Yeah, yeah, I still go back and watch
the cultural impact of Futurama.
What is it? Season 3... Episode 6, I think, Bendin' in the Wind, where Bender wants to become a
so
folk singer.
So fucking good, dude.
And meets Beck in the hospital. Yeah,
my
Beck.
Favorite. Oh, Beck's in that one? I never saw this one.
Is there a bigger Y2K artist than Beck?
It's so funny because Bender's in the hospital and Beck gives him this little robot arms thing to replace the arms that Bender broke his arms. And he's like, try scratching it against your chest, robot. And he scratches it. And he's like, oh, great. I can make annoying noises. And Beck's like, exactly. I use those all the time in my music. And then what
I
else?
I fucking love that shit.
That episode has all the best jokes if you like Beck, where Bender's like, man, wow, Beck, I wanted to be a gender transcending poet who reshapes genres even as he reinvents them. And Beck just looks at me and goes, do it, robot. It's easier than it looks. So great.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I love repeating jokes from old shows. That's another way you know Y2K culture is back, is we can just walk around saying taglines and everybody will be like,
I know that one.
Okay, so you know how they brought back Austin Powers for the Super Bowl?
No, they did that?
It was awful. The nadir of the commercials, for sure.
So General Motors, they were like, we're Dr. Evil and we're making electric cars, and that was the ad. But if they had done that with Futurama, that would have been my MK Ultra, like, fucking, you know, suicide by cop rampage trigger phrase.
You would have regressed back to, like, the first time you saw Futurama.
I don't know. Even with Austin Powers, it's pretty bad. Like, I think if they had got Goldfinger to say, like, I need to buy a Kia Sedona for my Faja, I probably would have shit until I died.
I would have fucking loved that, dude.
That impression you just did is way better than anything in the ad. Like, it's a better, it's less phoned in than Mike Myers being Austin Powers, or was he Austin Powers? I guess he was just Dr. Evil in this ad, right? Because it's Dr. Evil and Mini-Me. It's
so
awful.
One thing that I found really funny, I found out today about the Super Bowl ads, is that apparently, so you know how Coinbase, the crypto exchange, did an ad where it was just a QR code bouncing around the screen?
Oh, yeah.
Did it ever perfectly hit the corner?
Okay, apparently...
I think it did, maybe.
So they did a whole like publicity stunt where like that apparently crashed their website. I'm doing scare quotes here because that's probably... fake and not true, but apparently it came out that the ad agency that pitched them that ad, like Coinbase, was bragging that they had come up with that idea without going to an ad agency, like a creative agency. And then the creative agency that came up with the idea was like, we came up with that and pitched it to you and you rejected us. It was actually on this date and we have like the like, you know, so they just stole the idea.
They stole an idea
from a creative,
Jesus.
Which honestly, I don't know who I hate more, Coinbase or the fucking ad agency that's pitching a floating QR code to crypto companies. But it's just, like, kind of like one of those Schadenfreude things where no matter who wins, or no matter who loses, we win because of these idiots are fighting each other.
That's one of those situations where you got to just hope they kill each other, you know?
Somehow. I doubt they will. Those both make money out of the situation. But ideally.
What if the creative agency was like, what they really pitched was, hey, how about we pretend that we pitched you this thing, you pretend to steal it, and then we can have a protracted legal battle that draws even more attention.
Maybe that's what actually happened.
Maybe that's five dimensional chess.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised.
I mean, because that's the whole thing is like now at this point, and this is like such a cliche observation, especially if you're on Twitter, because you see it happen at like the fastest rate there. But like, you don't even have to be on the right side of a controversy anymore. All you got to do is be adjacent to any and all controversies, and immediately you can just start grifting right off.
You just got
to
walk through it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like more than even like crisis actors. Here's a pitch. Crisis chasers. People who check the demographics and the data and all of the police reporting, and they're like, I think a crisis is going to happen here. And if I position myself at this end of the courtyard, I will be most likely to be in a situation where I can file a lawsuit. And then boom, $90,000 in your pocket for two days' work.
Well, speaking of a crisis that played out literally today, and speaking of chasing a crisis, apparently the California Highway Patrol was in pursuit of a party bus today on a highway in California. This was tweeted an hour ago. It's February 22nd, 2022. Apparently, it was a stolen party bus. And then, not 1 hour later, driver of party bus has crashed.
Into Antelope Valley too. Did he hit an antelope? I hope not.
Pour some that. Out.
Imagine you're the cops trying to chase them though, and you're like on the bullhorn. You're like, please pull over. Please stop the vehicle. This is the whatever county police. And then all you hear in response is just bep, 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 bep. Yes! I love it.
Oh man.
I mean, it's a shame they crashed, honestly. If you're gonna run from the cops in a party bus, you gotta turn that shit into an all-nighter. You gotta just get into a slow speed pursuit across as many counties as possible, make the cops hand off from one department to the other. Like, really put those tax dollars to work if you're gonna run from the cops in a party bus.
I'm looking up the specs of a typical party bus, and I'm seeing this one. The specs that just came up when I Googled it are for a Mercedes Sprinter, which I don't think this was. I think this was some sort of General Motors John.
I mean, it's so cool though. Like, if you're going to steal a vehicle, party bus is a great choice, because who uses party buses? Like, they're owned by a company that rents them out to rich people or people who are having such a special event in their lives that they finally are able to spend a large amount of money on it. And in either case, you're not really fucking those people over by stealing the party bus. You're just fucking over the people who rent the bus out for profit. So
I got the specs. Why are you stealing one?
I got the specs on the Ford F-550 party bus involved in
Ford
the
F-550 party bus. What a long rundown YouTube video. 9 hours.
Involved in the incident with the California Highway Patrol. It's got a 6.7 liter V8 power stroke powered by... or it comes with electronic 5-speed automatic transmission. Oh, fuck off. Gross.
I love automatic. That's me and my Isuzu. Just throw that shit in D4 and slam the gas.
Hold up. You have an Isuzu now? How many fucking shit boxes have you gone through, bro?
That's what I drive for work. I don't own an Isuzu. Okay, okay. I'd love to drive an Isuzu, because then everybody would be like, is that your Isuzu out front? And be like, yeah.
Yeah, not gonna lie, do that. The Isuzu Trooper is kind of a dope-ass SUV. It was I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm going to get a bunch of hate from BPEEP listeners, I apologize, and I promise to do better. But I'm pretty sure the Isuzu Trooper was a rebadged Honda Passport first generation back when the Honda Passport looked like a Ford Explorer. They're fucking dope as fuck. I'm pretty sure they have a real transfer case too.
I don't know what any of that means. All I know is that if I'm going to buy a commercial, I'm going to buy a commercial car, like a daily driver from Isuzu, like a four-door sedan, it better be a fucking cab over.
Yes.
That's all I have to say about that.
Fuck
like,
yeah.
Imagine driving a cab over that's like just a commuter car, though. Like, it's just a tiny little cab
with
yeah, no,
there's
you're
no
right
room
up
in
front.
It. You're not putting anything on the bed or anything. You're just driving
you're
it.
Basically,
bare.
It's a, you're talking like basically a 90s, early 2000s minivan is what you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, where like your seat is pretty much bolted directly to the wheel well you're sitting over.
Yes. Hell yeah.
I fucking love that shit. Like at work, they keep asking me, they're like, this is Isuzu's a piece of junk. Do you want to switch out to a different truck? And I'm like, well, one, they're all pieces of junk. You don't have a truck that's worth switching to. And two, no, I like my Isuzu. It's comfortable. It's got hell like a yeah. real cab in it. It's not just a bunch of angular metal. It's got fucking well padded seats and it turns like a motherfucker. I'm shocked at how well these cab overs turn.
Well, that's the thing. It's a shorter wheelbase than you'd think. So it actually mm-hmm. does a pretty decent turn radius.
Well, speaking of cars and trucks, I wanted to talk about this Morgan Stanley Minute that was recently released that discusses the topic of flying cars. And it's a short 1 minute video that is apparently something that Morgan Stanley puts out pretty often. They've got videos with titles such as Climate Change and Infectious Diseases, Curbing Carbon, Measuring Diversity with HERS, and my favorite, The Future of measuring Urban diversity? Air Mobility, in which this guy, what the fuck is his name? Ravi shit, I can't find his name. It doesn't matter.
Ravi Shankar?
No, no. It's something similar to that, which is why I don't want to get it wrong.
Oh, okay. I was like, Ravi Shankar diversifying from being the world's foremost psychedelic sitar player into electric flying cars. Pretty fucking cool.
So his name is Ravi Shankar with an E.
Wait, really?
Yeah. And he's apparently a transportation and airlines analyst. And at the beginning of this Morgan Stanley Minute, he says something like, if you have a friend or a loved one who's experiencing distress in, say, a remote part of the country, a flying car would help get you there. And
what?
Then the rest of the video does not reveal like any real plans that Morgan Stanley has to produce flying cars. It just mm-hmm. kind of like profiles the aeronautics and aerospace technology.
Let me guess, do
that
they
the
make
US
any investment recommendations based on this article?
I would say if you want to invest in something, bury your money in the yard in mason jars. You get a pretty good return on that, which is that you'll probably only lose a little bit.
He's joking. Don't actually do that. If
you
actually
lose one of the jars, but the overall, it's going to be once crypto crashes and the value of the dollar goes back up, you're sitting pretty with it.
No, I mean, my
literally never happened. I was talking to somebody today and he was like, yeah, I just bought a new toolbox. And I was like, well, that's probably a good idea. And he's like, yeah, because the dollar is just going to continue to become worthless, but a toolbox will still be a toolbox. You know what I'm fucking saying?
Yeah. But I love that though, because he's like, I bought a piece of vital infrastructure, a single nail.
I'm set.
Like a toolbox, it will still be a toolbox. But also, like, if you think the fall of the dollar is impending, get some more stable goods than just a toolbox, my guy.
No, this was like a like professional like automotive technician's toolbox, like that. You ever go into like a garage and you see like everybody's got their own tool? It's like as tall as you and like 8 feet wide.
Okay, so it's actually
this is not like your dad's hand tools.
This is not a handyman's toolbox. This is a real professional mechanic's toolbox.
But it's like it makes total sense, because if you want to hedge against inflation, like, and you've been meaning to invest in your trade, then it makes complete sense.
Well, I mean, buy things as fast as you can if you
which
need
is why
them for
I will
any
be
reason.
Buying an F-550 Ford party bus powered by a Powerstroke V8.
That's right. So you can outrun the cops in a slow speed pursuit that goes across as many counties as possible, fulfilling my dream.
Oh, man. Yeah. Imagine if they'd also had like a group of podcasters in the back recording a podcast while being chased by the cops. That's the fucking dream.
We're here on the party bus that's being pursued by the California Highway Patrol Department. This week, the Queen announced she was selling ketchup. She also caught COVID.
This is the weirdest episode of the Bang Bus ever. Yeah. But sorry, I derailed this shit. But what's the deal with the flying cars?
Nothing. It just seems like Morgan Stanley is like intimating, hey, flying cars might actually be on the horizon. Everybody look
out.
And
cool.
I can't tell If it's just like a one of those futurism gimmies they got to give you every once in a while where they're like,
well, yeah,
actually cool stuff is coming, we promise. Or if it's like actually coming up on the horizon and they're trying to prime a market for people who want to buy flying cars that look like oversized pontoon boats and regularly get caught in the tops of pine trees.
Absolutely not.
They won't look flying cool if they make them. It's not going to look like a car. It's going to be like a huge helicopter. And who wants to fucking fly a helicopter to the office or something? It's not feasible.
Well, billionaires, basically. Flying cars will never happen. You will never be able to take your car that you drive on a road, press a button, and it becomes a flying machine. It will just never happen.
Shit, they don't even have swimming cars.
The reason being, the FAA exists, right? The FAA already has this insane, like, there's just an insanely stringent set of rules that you need to follow if you want to operate an aircraft. So what happens when you combine the FAA with the DMV and you have both of those stringent sets of rules, and then you have like every, you know, like Joe Common Man flying his like F-150 flying truck to work. It's literally, it's preposterous. There is a company called something one.
Kettle One Vodka.
Yeah.
Formula One.
That is creating, like, you know how drones have like a quad rotor thing? They're making that, but for people, and it goes like 10 miles an hour and it looks horrifically unsafe because there's there's four blades spinning at like 1,000 RPM right next to your head. And there's like no safety equipment whatsoever. Flying cars are not going to happen. You're just going to be like the elites already don't want you to be able to fly. They want to be able to fly, and they want the fucking proletarians to like fucking not even drive. They want you to they want to make public transportation so shitty that you like have to spend 3 hours to get to your shitty fucking job. And then they want to make gas so fucking expensive that you can't even fucking drive to commute because gas is going to be like $6 a gallon.
Okay. But tell me that, that 10 person personal helicopter thingy, is that powered by me and all my friends pedaling while we drink drinks that are served to us by a bartender standing in the middle of the vehicle? Because if it's not, I have zero fucking interest.
Okay, Leonardo da Vinci already invented this, and it's been suppressed by the mainstream media. Yeah. To find out more, you need to find out what InfoWars is.
That's right.
Yeah. We have a cure for cancer, we have a cure for AIDS, and we have the tools for a flying car, but, you know, big business doesn't want you to have these things. They want you to
suffer. A flying car that runs on hydrogen.
The Wright brothers were scam artists. There were already planes. You would power them by running on a treadmill in a circle that looks one of those cartoon things that people use as shorthand for these people are being worked to death.
Yeah. You ever seen Gilligan's Island? Documentary. You can power anything with a guy on a bike. It's very easy.
That's right. Imagine biking uphill through the air. It's so easy.
Yeah, there's nothing that it's easy. There's nothing to bike on, so it, you know, there's no resistance. It's great.
So what's going on with Ukraine?
Is
that like new? U-Haul for like renting cranes? Because I could use one of those.
Yeah, honestly, you could
rent this crane.
Come on down to 10th Avenue and Division, and we'll take care of you. Just ask for Bob, the crane maniac, the craniac. No, so I mean, like, the Ukraine thing is like truly deranged, and the way that the news media cycle has been able to hop everybody up. The only thing that I think is a real parallel to the kind of ideological control these kind of conflicts have over otherwise well-meaning Americans, it's really only comparable to elections, right? Like, nothing else makes you abandon all of your, you know, espoused principles and all of the political commentary that you've made over the last however many years quite like an election or a debate over whether or not some despot is going to invade some other fucking country that we suddenly have an interest in protecting for some reason. I swear to God, here's what you can do for praxis. If you're like, man, this Ukraine shit is fucked up, what should I do? Call the Ukrainian President Zelensky and ask him, do you have battle toads? That's what you should do. Yes!
They probably That's do. Right. Listen, right now, the whole reason they have that pipeline, the Nord pipeline, they want you to think it's for transporting natural gas. It's for transporting video games. Joe Biden wants a direct hookup of Russian bootleg copies of Battletoads. He wants to get them from China through Russia, through the Ukraine. He doesn't want Russia to have, you know, a taste of it. He wants it to come straight through Ukraine. Mm-hmm. That's why he wants to go to war.
Well, that's the crazy thing is like Germany, I was trying not to stay on the Ukraine thing for too long. Germany did just announce that they were suspending any forward movement on certifying the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. So I guess whatever like contacts in the German government Biden had that made him feel comfortable saying like, we can find a way to stop it if Putin doesn't clean up his room. Like he must have actually had some kind of contact in what's the guy, what's the new prime minister's name, Olaf Scholz,
something
like that. It's not Merkel anymore, but so the Ukraine situation is extremely deranged, and the worst you're gonna see is just like weird austerity, and guess what, that's already here. So
that is literally already happening. Yeah. Regardless of whether full-scale armed conflict happens in the Ukraine and the United States gets involved, austerity will continue to get worse for you and everybody else who works for a living.
Right. Well, and moving away from Ukraine, something I alluded to a little bit earlier, I do want to talk about a country.
These motherfuckers alluding?
I'm alluding. I'm dropping hints. I'm foreshadowing. I want to talk about a country with which the United States has
figurative things.
I'm doing prefigurative comedy, folks. I want to talk about a country which has a very quote-unquote special relationship with the United States. Little St. James Island, a.k.a. the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Our special little guy. We're so proud of
them. Yes. When I said earlier that the Queen was making a brand of ketchup, I was not fucking joking. The Queen...
And once again, the Smiths were right. The Queen is dead.
The Queen is dead. The Queen has been dead for some time. But according to this article from 3 weeks ago, so I'm a little late to the Royal Ketchup Party, which
don't look that up on Urban Dictionary.
That's what Prince Andrew is being sued for, if you know what I mean.
That's right. Woo! I came across this truly deranged article on foodsided.com, which is the food division of fansided.com, which I believe is some kind of sports fan network. But
sure,
it says,
yeah.
I believe if you ever have visited that website, you've automatically been drafted to fight for Joe Biden's armed forces in Ukraine.
That's right. Oh, you are currently in the Donbass. but it says, your fridge is about to get a royal upgrade because the Queen is releasing her very own line of condiments. The saucy line, including tomato sauce and brown sauce, is produced at the Queen's estate in Sandringham, Norfolk. That's right. Your ketchup can now be served right from Your Majesty. To which I say only, what kind of brainworms do you have to call steak sauce brown sauce?
Brown sauce. Oh, God. Yeah. Who the fuck would... That's okay, so England is full of the most unique sickos. The most unique and esoterically sick-headed individuals that you can imagine.
They've perfected it. It's like all their culture is about being sick and disgusting freaks.
Yes, to us, normal Americans, all right, with the most normal of countries... that has the most normal of ones. Brown sauce?
Yeah.
I don't want fucking brown sauce.
The Queen is launching
A1. Tell me where it ranks.
Worcestershire, all right? A1, all right? Fucking Sweet Baby Ray's. Come up with a name.
Something.
You don't name a sauce after the...
Especially if it's brown.
Like a taco with green sauce?
Yeah. I mean, but that's the thing. Like you have lines from this article where it says, the Queen's brown sauce is, quote, packed with vinegar and spices.
Oh, Your Majesty, how naughty. This is Miss Vinegar Queen. Oh, boy.
And it says, for an American comparison, brown sauce is similar to Worcestershire sauce, to which I only have to say, have you seen the name Worcestershire? That's about the most British fucking name you could possibly give. Like, I know that's a staple in American pantries, but don't pretend that Worcestershire is a place in fucking Kentucky.
Fuck you. It probably is, honestly.
Yeah. I know there's a Worcester, Mass., but I think that's the closest we have here.
Mm-hmm. And even that does not have the Shire on it.
Yeah, it would be like Worcesterville. Or like Worcesterburg.
Yeah. Worcesterburg, yeah. That's one.
Yeah.
Worcesterburg and the rest of the Bilderberg group.
Worcesterburgs is what I call my secret burger recipe, which is just I soak them in Worcestershire sauce for days.
You leave the meat out on the counter to age a little bit. It becomes inedible.
Yeah, so, and then the other insane thing about this is they're like gleefully in this food journalism article, if you can even fucking call it that, they're like gleefully telling you about the markup too. So like part of this is you're going to just pay more for a shittier product that's like more prestigious because it has the queen's fucking face on it. So like, I guess your ketchup can look like Canadian money or something.
Yeah. Well, that's why, well, paying more for a shittier product that has the queen's face on it is why I buy exclusively Cardi B wrap snacks.
That's right. Cardi B wrap snacks, the sponsor of this week's BP Flares.
Nothing but respect for my queen.
That's right.
Tired of paying $9 plus shipping and handling to the United States for the queen's brown sauce? Try Cardi B's wrap snacks instead.
If you really want a brown sauce, squish up the chips and put water on them. I bet it'll turn brown. It's gotta taste better than the bullshit the queen is selling you.
I mean, brown, that's the crazy sauce thing. Like, I feel like, God, I make a brown sauce every time I make a fucking chalada, just when I'm dumping the Worcestershire in the hot sauce in the bottom of the glass before I toss the vodka.
Oh, that
in.
Sounds good as fuck, dude.
It's so fucking good. You get a couple of Queen Manzanilla blue cheese stuffed olives in there as well.
Yes.
So choice.
Beautiful.
Brown sauce.
Brown sauce.
We got to call this episode brown sauce.
The it's queen's brown sauce.
The queen's brown sauce.
Simple as. Look, mate, it's brown. It's sauce. Call it brown sauce. Simple as.
Love me sauce. Love me brown. Love the queen. Simple as.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was reading about Canada because I was like, how does their fucking parliament work? And apparently, Justin
Canada,
Trudeau.
How does it work? Magic.
Apparently, Justin Trudeau serves at the queen's pleasure.
Yeah,
it's technically that,
this
true. Mother, yeah.
This
she
motherfucker pleasuring
him.
The queen.
So there's a thing in Canadian politics. I think this is true for a lot of the Commonwealth states where there's a, I don't remember what it's called. I think it's like the queen's fucking like parishioner or some other stupid liturgical or state word. Mm-hmm. But it's this figure in the Canadian government that technically answers directly to the queen. So if the British government or just the queen really wanted to, they could technically dissolve the government of Canada. Now, this has never happened in any of the Commonwealth states, except in Australia one time when the US wanted to do a coup and the UK was like, okay, we'll help you. But other than that, you're totally safe and it will never happen to your country, even if you are just three oil companies in a trench coat like
Canada. Well, they can't dissolve the government of Canada anyway because the queen's fucking dead.
No, they wanted to. Yeah, the queen is dead, but you know whoever's left in the fucking royal family's got their eye on the strategic maple reserves. They're like, we can't even grow a maple tree on this pedo island.
Yeah. Prince Charles is like, I'm sick of eating my mom's brown sauce. I want the good brown sugar sauce. I want maple syrup. I'm
sauce,
grabbing
dude.
All that maple syrup.
It doesn't even go good sauce. On waffles.
I want to be a fancy lad king, and I want to eat my waffles with maple syrup. So I'm taking over the government of Canada. That's my solemn pledge.
I mean, that's the thing about the government of Canada, though, is like the queen would never, Britain would never have any reason to establish more control over Canada than they already have, because the UK is in strategic alliances with the US up to its fucking neck, and the US basically dictates how Canada operates. It's just America, too. So, you know, it would just be extra work
for the queen. I mean, she's already busy enough, like, bottling up these ketchups, you know, because it said it's made at her estate. So I have to imagine the queen is, like, pouring it into the jars. She's boiling the tomatoes. Like, they're really putting her to work on this one.
She has an enlarged abdomen, and she secretes brown sauce.
like a
large insect.
Oh, no.
I can't handle that. I can't handle that. When a writer is like, I have an alien species for you, and I'm like, oh, yeah, are they cool? They're like, yeah, they're very cool. They're like a hive mind thing, and they all feed off of a special liquid that's only secreted by the mother or the queen alien. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. I got stung by a bee when I was a kid too. I aimed a magnifying glass at an anthill once also.
Yeah, you're really reaching for the stars with the sci-fi, dude. It's really tripping me out how you watch Bill Nye once.
Way to recycle Orson Scott Card plots that I read in middle school and didn't think were that exciting then either.
All right. What else is going on in the world? That's cool. It's all good. Nothing's going on in the world. It's time to end the episode.
That's right.
I ordered wings.
The world is finally calm and contemplative, which was always the goal of this podcast.
The world is healing. Things are not happening anymore. No more war, no more stolen party buses. It's all fine.
No,
I was thinking it'd be funny if OJ had been running from the cops. If OJ had been running from the cops in a stolen party bus instead of his Bronco. Imagine that. Imagine the shirt, like a party bus with six cop cars going really slowly behind it.
Hell yeah. Great.
Playing, of course, the Vanga Boys classic, We Like to Party.
He would have gone to jail if he'd done that.
That's right.
Goodbye.
Vanga Boys, straight to prison. All right, we're going to end the episode now. Thank you all so much for listening. We really appreciate your support. Leave Beep Beep a 5-star review wherever you think it will help. Just whisper it into a stranger's ear. Beep Beep Lettuce is a good show. If you give us any money on Patreon, we really appreciate it. Get into the Discord if you're not already. I've been posting my trials and tribulations of my relatively new job in there, so that's always a fun time. And as always, keep motherfucking beeping.
Peace.
Goodbye. We like to party. We like to party. We like to party.